Thank you, Shay. Welcome, everyone. Merry Christmas. And I just have a question, Shay. Are you going to cheat tomorrow and eat some meat? No? Still no? Oh, man. Those of you who were here last Sunday, Shay brought the word powerfully. It was a great message. And your mom, I mean, man, she could bring it, can't she? I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? But thank you. And also, it's great seeing a lot of faces here. It's kind of like a homecoming. Those of you who have been away for a while, Sarah Ryan, welcome back up here. And Lucy, will you please stand? Yeah. Praise God. I just said to Jill, is Lucy in the house right now? And she said, I don't know. So praise God. So Lucy, all the way back from Iraq. And so afterwards, make sure you she'll fill you in with what's going on. And she'll be here for a little while. I'm not sure how long. We probably shouldn't talk across the room right now and find these things out. But not for too long. But she'll be able to share with us everything going on in Iraq. So praise God. But isn't it great to have Jesus? We're going to talk about Jesus this morning being God's gift to mankind, the greatest gift ever. I mean, Jesus, what is greater than the gift of Jesus when you think about it? What is more comprehensive than the gift of Jesus? More precious, more powerful, more loving, more beneficial, more life-changing, more loving, more eternally significant than the gift of Jesus. There's no other gift to mankind other than Jesus that can even compare than Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk today about the gift of Jesus Christ, how significant he is. Unfortunately, he's also very often underestimated, overlooked, and undervalued by mankind. People don't realize what they're missing when they don't have Jesus. So we're going to talk about receiving Jesus, the gift of Jesus, how the reason why it's so important to fully receive Jesus. I don't think any of us have fully received the fullness of Jesus. I know we haven't, you know, just like we haven't used 90% of our brain. I know we haven't tapped in to probably 1% of the fullness of the gift of Jesus. I'm sure we haven't. But it's so important to fully receive Jesus. Then we will fully enjoy Jesus. We will fully appreciate Jesus. We will fully use the benefits of Jesus. I think it's important to remember the benefits. In fact, Scripture tells us, if you could put up those few Psalms about the benefits, we're told to remember the benefits. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalms 116:12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Jesus is a beneficial gift. He keeps on benefiting you throughout your life down here and, of course, for eternity. He is a beneficial gift. It's so important to get our minds around the greatness of the gift of Jesus. So we're going to talk first about why is the gift of Jesus so significant. And then how do we receive the fullness of Jesus? Because there is a method we're going to see in the story of Christmas, really. A method of receiving the gift of Jesus. But before we dig in, a little humor, or at least an attempt at humor, okay? So there was two brothers, one 6 and one 5-year-old, okay? And it was getting close to Christmas, so they're sleeping over Grandma's house. And as at the end of the day, they're kneeling down at their bed getting ready to pray. And the older one starts praying really loud. God, God, I want a new train set. God, God, I want a remote control helicopter. Really loud, you know. And then he says, God, I want a new bicycle. And so finally the younger brother says, Joey, why are you screaming? God isn't deaf. And Joey says, well, God isn't deaf, but Grandma sure is. So, I think Joey's on to the truth about Santa. I don't know. But So let's pray one last time as we get ready for what God has for us this morning. Lord God, we thank you for being here. And Lord, I truly hope each one of us, me especially, leave here grasping, getting my mind around the greatness of the gift of Jesus. Because when we receive you, Lord God, we will never be the same. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first section, again, is we're going to talk about why is the gift of Jesus so tremendous. And for that, I have a prop. I used to be really into props. Dave, I might be knocking your piano out of tune. So you want to check that when you get back up here, okay? But so first of all, I'm going to have this gift up here, okay? And this present. And really, Jesus is a present to mankind, isn't he? And it's so important to open up the greatness of the gift of Jesus. Because so many people just leave the gift of Jesus aside. Like we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago, how so many people just say, leave Jesus under the tree or on the shelf, unwrapped. You ever find presents in your closet you forgot to give? What's worse is when you get a gift and never open it. That shows you, in a sense, your attitude towards the gift or the giver, right? But really, the gift of Jesus is meant to be opened and sought through, you know, and fully received. And so when we receive Jesus as a gift, we get so much just in Jesus. So we're going to open this up. You want to open this present up? All right. I said to Jill, is this going to be corny? So we'll give it a try. I got to admit, I kind of pulled some of these props out of the basement. Like I said, I used to be really into props. But anyway, but when we receive Jesus, we of course receive the love of Jesus, okay? All right, we really do, because the love of Jesus is unfathomable. We're justified. Justified never sinned. When we receive Jesus, we receive his justification. It's justified, never sinned, because I now have the righteousness of Christ, right? And I'm sanctified by his blood, covered over, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. What else do we have in here? I better not make a mess or the worship team will come up here and be tripping. But we have been set free of our sins, right? Set free of the bondage of sin. We were once a slave to sin. Now we're a bond servant of righteousness. That's what we receive in Jesus, is being set free from our sins. We have also received, by his wounds, we have received the keys. Remember what he said to Peter? I now give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loosen on earth is loosened in heaven. We now have keys we never had before. We now have keys. Jesus has given us keys to unlock the heavens and bring them down to earth. That's what he's done for us. And to set the captives free for what their destination is and their destiny, he has given us those keys. We have received, but of all those things, first, salvation, eternal life. And if you could show those couple of verses. Remember when Gabriel came to, I think it was Gabriel, it was an angel, but Gabriel seemed to be doing a lot of the announcing at that time. And an angel spoke to Joseph and spoke of Mary, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Jesus said of himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. A lot of times we forget about this verse 17. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus brought salvation. We were already heading to hell, and he came and saved us out of it. I mean, isn't that awesome? That's what we receive in Jesus. And so, do you want to keep opening? Because what else do we get in Jesus? Well, we get something else. We get more presents, okay? Okay, and they match. How about that? So, but inside, what else does Jesus give us? He gives us the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we receive the Father. Isn't it interesting? The Father also says, well, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And of course, he does that with the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is always working together for our salvation. But we can't get to the Father except through the Son. We receive the Father. And what do we receive from the Father? We receive glory. Remember in John 17? He said, Father, I want them to have the same glory you have given me. What else do we receive? We receive every good and perfect gift, the Father of lights. I know, this is going to get a little bit. Is that lighting? Yeah, good. The battery didn't run out after all these years. See that? The light keeps shining. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Do you know what's amazing? Why are there shadows? Because of the rotation of the earth. The sun is never moving and shining down, but it's the shifting, the rotation of the earth. The great thing about God is that his face always shines down on you. There's no shadow. He's always looking at you. Wherever you're facing, he's trying to look right at you and shine his face down upon you and bring you light and bring you good gifts. When we receive the Father, we receive the Father of lights, the giver of every good and perfect gift. That's a celebration when we receive the Father. You know, without Jesus, you can't have the Father's love. You can't have the Father's will for your life. You can't have everything he has in my, you know, the Father is preparing. Jesus is preparing a place for us. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't true, I would have told you, you know, we have so much in the Father because we have the Son. Amen? And then what else? What else do we get in here? We get the Holy Spirit. All right, this is not a matching box, but work with me here. But the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you should want me to leave, because if I leave, that's when the Holy Spirit will come. And he will fill you at Pentecost. And so he did come. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, what else do we receive? What else do we receive? We receive the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? That is the personality of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and righteousness, and truth, we find in Ephesians 5:9. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the personality of the Spirit of God. Don't you want that personality? I have so many things about my personality I wish I could just shed. And I can. Because as I receive the Holy Spirit, my old things of my old nature just start to get cleansed away, and I start receiving my new me, my eternal me. When I receive the Holy Spirit, I receive who Christ is in the Holy Spirit. That's what you receive. You receive the fruit of the Spirit, his personality. But also we receive the gifts of the Spirit as the Lord continues to transform us. We're almost done. But what else? We receive the gifts of the Spirit. We see this in 1 Corinthians Chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We receive the gifts. That's the activity, the action of the Holy Spirit. That's what we receive. And the Lord wants us to walk in wisdom. You know, that's the first fruit of the Spirit, when we receive wisdom. we get God's mind. Remember what he said to the Corinthians? Even though that was a messed up church, Paul said at the end of the book, he said, but we have the mind of Christ. You know, as messed up as you are, you still have the mind of Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit, the potential is there for Christ to be unlocked in us. And we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wants us to have. He wants us to have the full-fledged Trinity. And I believe we can walk in that fullness of life, walking in the Spirit, not the flesh, not by sight, but by faith. And so that's why we want the Holy Spirit. So now I'm going to put some of my props away and move into how do we receive the Holy Spirit. I'll just kind of keep this aside here. Here, put that right there. There we go. Move this off of there. Sorry, little set change here. And but now, we're going to get into, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 2, actually 1 into 2, but we're going to look and see in the story of Christmas, how do we receive the gift of Christ? Because it matters, doesn't it? If you receive a gift and never really value it, first of all, you never open it, which is a huge percentage of mankind never open at all the gift of Christ to even receive salvation. Could you imagine that? Seeing a gift there and saying, I know who's giving it and I don't want it. So it's so important to open and receive salvation, but even more so than that, how valuable is the gift of Christ to us? Because if we believe it's valuable, we'll just keep digging in and digging in. I believe the first thing is we have to receive Jesus with great expectation, with great anticipation. We need to expect great things to happen when we receive Jesus, don't we? Because the word says when we receive him, we will be new creation. We will be brand new. That's what he says about us. When we receive Jesus, we will start to loathe sin and love what God loves. I mean, that's what he promises. We need to expect great things. And we can see this in Luke chapter 1. At this point, Gabriel had already come to Mary and said, highly favored one, you are going to deliver a child. His name will be Jesus. And also, by the way, your relative is 6 months pregnant with a miraculous pregnancy of her own at a ripe old age, a barren woman. And so she went to visit Elizabeth. And this is where we're going to pick it up. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, watch this, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with loud a voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. As soon as John the Baptist was in there, he heard the vessel of his Savior, Jesus Christ. He heard Mary's voice, and he knew right through the uterine walls. Is that the word for that? Right? Imagine that, really. He's like, there's my purpose. My life purpose is going to be born. He knew it. That's just so amazing to me. Wonderfully and fearfully made we are in the womb. Before one of the days of my life were lived, you knew me. As my substance was being formed in the belly of my mother, I'm paraphrasing, you already had my plans mapped out. Isn't that amazing? He cares that much about us. And John knew it in his mother's womb. He leaped for joy and already was evangelizing through the umbilical cord. Mom, this is the mother of Jesus. It was just amazing, you know. And could you imagine that? He knew in the womb, the one born to this woman will be my purpose in life. It's so cool, you know, when Jill was pregnant, didn't you? I just love feeling the bumping and the moving, you know. Those of you who have had babies, you know, can relate to that, or dads. And I remember Zach, our firstborn, he moved the most. I mean, he really, and maybe she just loosened up, I don't know. But, sorry. I'm going to hear about that later, okay? Strike that from the whatever it is. But no, he did. He moved a ton. And most of all, he moved a lot when music was playing. It's so funny, isn't it? He really did. Jill reminded me that. He just would like jump around. And if you know Zach, he's very kind of acrobatic. He loves like doing handstands and jumps and rolls. And he was, you know, it's funny. There he is back there. But you know, I believe he was doing that in the womb. Music, boom, 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 you know, jumping around and whatever he was doing in there. But it's interesting because now he's in music. Isn't it funny? You know, God has, you know, we make plans, but he guides our steps. He knows what he has planned for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, you know. He knows from the beginning. It's so cool. And then I believe Jake was probably humming in the womb because he hummed right when he came out. Just almost immediately, he started harmonizing with the radio, and you know, and it was really amazing. Probably Mary, I was Morgan, and then I was thinking about Jesse. He was probably, what could you play in there? Maybe the umbilical cord. I don't know. Doing some music in there, making music somehow in that womb, but whatever he was doing. But it's amazing how God already has plans for us. But the important thing to see is that John leaped in the womb. He leaped for joy. He expected great things. When we open the gift of Jesus, we need to expect great things. That's the first word, is to expect. Great expectation. You know, another word for expect really is hope. We think of hope as kind of wishful thinking. Hope is really expect. With expectancy, trusting. Hope and trust are like almost the same word most of the time. It's to trust, you know? And we see a continuance of this idea with Mary. Because watch what Mary does. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth..." By the way, I'm on verse 48. I forget whether I said that. "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for" who? "For me. And holy is his name." She was expecting great things. Well, why? Nothing's happened yet, but she has been told great things are going to happen. We need to receive Jesus expecting great things are going to happen. And do you believe that about yourself? "Well, yeah, but I received Jesus 20 or 30 years ago, and nothing great has happened for me." I'll bet you, first of all, there has. You're just forgetting things. But perhaps you're trying things that aren't part of his plan, and it's time to reroute, you know, and to get where he wants you to be so that you could expect again, that you can hope again, that you can expect great things from the gift of Jesus. And the next thing, after we expect great things when we open the gift of Jesus, is we need to inspect. There's going to be kind of a rhyming theme here. I know, this is so different than I usually operate, so work with me though. Inspect. We need to inspect the gift of Jesus. You can't, if you don't open a gift and really study it, you don't know how it works. I know when we give the electronics to the kids, the first thing they do is open up and they start looking at how to use it, what to do with it. That's how you know they really care about their gift, because they're inspecting it, they're studying it, because they want to use it properly, you know? We need to inspect the gift of Jesus. And, you know, that's what the shepherds did. And we can read this in chapter 2, verse 8. No, verse 11. Jesus at this point was already born, and verse 11, for there the angel came to the shepherds to announce that Jesus was born. And verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 20, then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What we have to do is we have to inspect. You know, when we receive Jesus, don't be satisfied with just knowing, well, yeah, he's my Savior. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, you know, where are you going when you die? And they say, well, no, let me back up. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, yeah. Well, do you believe he's your Savior? Oh, yeah. Are you going to heaven? I think so. Why? Well, because I think I'm a pretty good person. And, you know, that's not biblical. But you say, okay, well, then who is really Jesus to you? Is there any other way to go to heaven? Well, maybe. See, they're missing the whole point of who Jesus really is. You know why? Because they kept him on the shelf. They didn't really dig in to see who Jesus is. We need to inspect the gift of Jesus so that we fully understand it. That's what the wise men did. They saw a star and walked hundreds of miles or rode on camels to find out about this star because they knew through their scribes this was the king of the Jews. We got to go follow this sign. And then, of course, the sign disappeared. So they went to Jerusalem and they said, where is the king of the Jews going to be born, you know? And, of course, Herod got a little upset about what king? What? I'm the king around here, okay? There's the emperor, but I'm this king around here. And so they said, oh, Bethlehem. So what did the wise men continued on to Bethlehem. Then they saw the star again. But they investigated. They researched it. They inspected. We need to inspect the gift of Jesus to fully understand him, you know? And what does that mean for us? How do you inspect Jesus? Well, first of all, when you receive Jesus, you read the Word of God. You got to know the Word. If you don't know the Word, you're going to believe anything. You need to inspect the saints. You know, that's why we keep saying, hang around after church. Get to know us. Because I believe the saints are the greatest humans on earth. There's no one better than us. I'm sorry, there isn't. Okay, we are the best, okay? And you know why? Because we possess the Spirit of God in us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. We're tabernacles. We're tents of skin. I mean, we are great on earth, and we're all Jesus has. So it's important to get to know one another and to learn from one another. I'm always learning. When I'm in the presence of saints, I'm constantly learning. It's so important to just inspect. Dive into the church. Get to know what's inside Christ. And then you'll fall in love with Jesus. But being half-hearted about it, I'm telling you, you'll always be living a double-minded, confused life. You need to dive all in when you receive Jesus. We really need to research. And you know, Jesus wants us to. That's what's so amazing about him. He wants us to find out more. Don't just believe what I say. Find out. Follow me and come and see. Remember when John the Baptist was walking along and two of his disciples were with him and he says, That's what John the Baptist always did. He always pointed to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. In fact, he must increase and I must decrease. My whole life is about pointing to him right from the womb of Elizabeth. It's always been about that guy, Jesus, right? And so he saw Jesus and he said to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." And with that, you know what happens? They start following Jesus. And as they're walking behind him, he turns around and he goes, "What do you seek?" And he goes, "Where are you staying?" And then Jesus said, "Come and see." And so they hung out with him the whole day. Imagine going to Jesus' house. Isn't that, what's in there? You know what I mean? What does he do? He has little things he builds on the side as a carpenter when he gets bored. I don't know. But imagine you're invited to his house. That's him. He's like, "Come and see. I want you to see what I'm all about. Inspect. Learn. You'll love me. The more you get to know me, the more you will love me." There's no question about it. Remember when Zacchaeus, the tax collector, little guy, I can relate, and so he was looking for Jesus, and he couldn't see over the crowds, and he wanted to see him, and so he said, "You know what, I think he's going up that way." So he climbed up a sycamore tree. And as he climbed up a sycamore tree, if you can recall, if you could put that verse up there in Luke chapter 19, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." It's because he sought after him. It's because he wanted to see him. And this is the case with the shepherds. They wanted to see. The wise men, they wanted to see. Anna, the prophetess, which we see in Luke, she wanted to see. Simeon, the prophet, you know, he said, "I heard there's someone new in the temple," and he was inspired by the Spirit of God to know this is the Messiah. He had to hold him. Wow, look at this. This is Jesus. He wants us to taste, to hold, to learn about him. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, when Paul went into Athens, he said, "You know, everyone has been put on this planet for a time and season that all would grope for him and find him." That means like just touch. Remember when he said, "Come, touch," when he reappeared from his resurrection? He wants you to inspect the goods. He wants you to know all about him, because the more you get to know him, the more you will love him. There's no question about it. And we see this in Psalms 66:5. Where it says, "Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind." Isn't Jesus really the greatest? When the saints do all the greatest things on earth, they really do. There's no charities that are run like Christians. Christians just lay down their lives for their fellow humans. They really do, because they are Christ on earth. And then also Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The more you seek, the more you get. Just keep digging in. Just keep inspecting the goods of Jesus Christ, and you will grow. The next thing, because we expect, we inspect, okay? But we need to respect the gift of Jesus, don't we? Not trampling on the grace of God. That's what the wise men did. When they approached and found Jesus at this point, they're probably in some rundown house. They graduated from the barn and the manger, okay? And they're in some rundown house probably, and the wise men came in. And when they saw him, they fell on their face and worshiped him. What were they worshiping? A baby born to poor people. What were they worshiping? You know, sometimes gifts are deceiving. From the outside, they don't look all that great. But the more you get to know what you have, the more you really appreciate who or what that gift is, you know? And so they knew this is the King of the Jews. They just knew it. And they fell down. They worshiped him. They respected the gift of Jesus, even though at the moment it looked like nothing. It looked like nothing. And what did they do? They gave him the greatest gifts from their land. They couldn't bring food. It would have rotted by the time they got there. It would have gone bad. What did they give them? Gold. Royalty. And of course, that's a picture of his royalty, and we don't have time to get into that, but gold, frankincense, myrrh, the greatest gifts from their land is what they brought to give to this baby because they wanted to respect the gift of Jesus. You know, Jesus wants us to bring the best of our life to him. He does. He wants you to bring him your career and say, Lord, I want you to anoint this career to be what you want it to be. Just take it, Lord. It's still mine on loan from God, but Lord, what do you want it to be? Lord, my relationships, they're not mine, they're yours. Here's my relationships. Fix them, rewire them, get them back right, or thank you for them. But whatever they are, they belong to you. He wants you to bring your relationships to him. He wants you to bring him your enjoyment, your hobbies, and say, Lord God, this is yours. I love to play golf. I don't personally, but show me how to build your kingdom while playing golf. People do it all the time. You know, share the gospel with hoity-toity rich people on the golf course, you know, about Jesus. I mean, you know, whatever you do, you are constantly an ambassador for Jesus. Bring the best of your life and just respect the gift of God. Say, you know, all this is worthless if I don't have you. Take it all. Just take it all. You know what he does? He pays you 100-fold. You leave with more than you walked in. You ever notice that on missions trips, you go to serve the people in the third world countries and you come back, you know, like all busting at the seams with joy. Somehow they gave you something, but they didn't. The Holy Spirit gave you something that you didn't have when you first went there. A new filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, your backpacks are now full with the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You have been empowered from God on high, you know? That's what he does. When you offer him your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh, and you just say, here it is, Lord, he anoints it, and now it means something. And little did they know, they were actually paying for the escape of Jesus to Egypt. Isn't that amazing? Like, they were giving him something, and they thought, this is nothing compared to who he is. And yet they used it. He'll use what you got. He will use whatever you have. Whatever small mustard seed of a faith or small job you have or no friends, whatever you think you don't have, he will anoint it and make it abundant. Multiply it 100 times on earth and in the age to come. He promises he'll do that. We need to respect the gift of Jesus. And then finally, we have to have it rhyme. We need to project the gift of Jesus. We need to project Jesus. You know, that's what the shepherds did. They went, they saw, and what did they do? They came back, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe. It was just a baby in a manger. What's the big deal? Yeah, but we saw the angels. We were given the word that this is going to be someone magnificent, that he is going to restore all things to mankind, that he is going to save man from their sins. They shared it with everyone. That's what Anna did when she saw Jesus. She said, wow, finally, after she was a widow for 84 years. How old was she? Who knows? She might have been 120 years old. But she finally, Simeon, now I can finally die. I've seen him. And what did they do? They shared with everyone. This guy is going to be the one we've all been waiting for, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to restore all things, to set the captives free, to set us free from ourselves, to heal us, to take us out of our sin addiction, and give us a new spirit, a new heart that beats for him. There's only one under heaven who can do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one. And we need to project that everywhere. That's what John the Baptist, his life was about, projecting Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not even worthy to tie a sandal. That's the one you want to follow. He must increase. I must decrease. You know, I'm glad they only showed one little moment of time in John the Baptist's ministry where he kind of had a wavering faith. And do you remember when it was? When he was in the prison and he's hearing that Jesus is doing all these amazing things, raising people from the dead, giving sight to the blind, healing the sick, all these things. He's like, and I'm in here because, I mean, what's this all about? You know, I'm rotting away in prison and you're doing things for everybody else. You know what he did? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking at himself and his own circumstances. He stopped projecting Jesus just for a moment of time and started focusing on himself. You know, that's the key to depression. You know that? Depression is when we focus on us. And I don't know about you, when I think about myself, I get pretty depressed sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. There's so many things I don't like about myself. I could just go on forever. But when I focus on Jesus, I focus on everyone else, and I'm the last that even comes to mind, what do I have? Jesus, others, you. I love that acronym, joy. That's joy. That's the joy of the Lord. When Jesus is being projected to the world in my life, it's all about him. If I slip up, that's his problem because he's got me. Just like Paul said, what I am, the only one who judges me is Jesus. So I don't care what people think about me. It's all about Jesus anyway, you know? Projecting Jesus, it puts the focus on him, and that's how you have true joy anyway. Jesus, others, you. That's joy. And for a moment of time, John the Baptist started thinking about himself, and he sent two messengers to Jesus, and he says, are you really the one we should be waiting for, or is there someone else coming? Can you imagine that? From the womb, he knew it. From the womb, he knew this is the one who's coming. He made his whole life about pointing and projecting Jesus. And suddenly he had a lapse of faith just for a moment of time in prison. And then, of course, Jesus said, you know, you see what's happening. I'll paraphrase, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. All these things are happening. Blessed is the one who is not offended on account of me. And they went back, and as they left, he said, what did you go out to see when you went out to the wilderness? A reed wavering in the wind? Did you go out to see a guy in soft clothing? No, people who live in royalty wear soft clothes. But what did you go to see? A prophet? Yes. And more so. And I tell you, no one born to a mother is greater than he. That's John the Baptist, making his life about projecting Jesus. And yet, the least in heaven is greater than he. And that's talking about our full redempted life, you know, because we someday the corruptible will be overcome by the incorruptible. And we will take on our new heavenly bodies and we will be fully sinless. And that's what he's talking about in heaven. But John the Baptist, so powerful because he spent his life projecting Jesus. So it's so important. When we receive Jesus, we expect great things. We inspect to get to know him. That we respect the great gift of Jesus. And we project him to others, to share Jesus, to share the love of Jesus. Is there anything more important than that? The only way they're going to know Jesus is if you show them. And the only way you can show them is if you interact with people, knowing my purpose here is to introduce them to their Creator, introduce them to the Savior, to the one who, the lover of their souls, the one who loves them more than anyone else. You know, that's how we receive the gift of Jesus. But what we don't do is one last thing, which happens to rhyme. I didn't even plan this, but I came across. We don't want to neglect the love of Jesus. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? Don't neglect the gift that is within you. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. And we read in Hebrews 2:3, it says that how can we escape if we have neglected a salvation as great as this? Don't neglect the gift of Jesus. Even if you're saved, you haven't had enough. I haven't. You have not had enough. You need more. All of us need more Jesus. We need to just keep opening up those presents and say, what else you got, Jesus? What else you got? I want more and more and more. Just keep laying it on me. Because anything I can't hold, I'll give away anyway. And that's what he does. He keeps pouring into your life so that you have no choice but to give it away. It's too much. It's too much. I want more. Don't you want more of Jesus? He's the only gift that you can't out give away. That he just keeps pouring in more and more. And what you don't give away becomes stagnant. That's the problem. That's the problem with knowledge. You know, knowledge puffs up. If you're not using it, you just get a big fat head. And you're worthless to anybody because all you do is know facts. Oh, that was, you know what Josephus said about that? You know, I don't know how to love you, but I'll tell you what Josephus said about that, okay? I mean, we need to love. We need to project the love of Jesus to everyone because if we don't, who will? There's no one else on earth that can do this. No one else qualify to project Jesus on earth. No one. So how dare we ever neglect the gift of Jesus? Because if we don't do it, no one else will. You know, I could just say for my own life, I've failed many times, but I could just relate to this message for myself. Because I know when I got baptized by the Holy Spirit, when I fully surrendered and was overwhelmed, and I shared that before. But, you know, I suddenly believed when I read, you're a new creation. I believed it. I said, well, then that means I really have the power not to sin. Now, oh, and then people try to convince you, no, but you will. You will just, I don't want to hear logic. I want to expect great things from my life, don't you? And I did. I said, all right, then I am going to expect great things. I know I'll fail, but I'm going to still expect even greater things. His mercies are new every morning. And when I'm faithless, he is faithful because he won't deny himself. He's just going to keep pouring into me even when I fall down. He wants to lift me up and give me more, you know? And I expected more. And I inspected. I inspected all the saints. And I inspected the church. And I inspected the preaching. I just studied and analyzed and judged wrongly. I just picked everything apart because I was a doubter. I don't know if you are, but I'm a heavy doubter. I'm a doubting type. You got to show me. That's what's so amazing about. I don't know where I got this faith because it can only be from him because I wouldn't believe otherwise. You know, I need to be shown everything. But the more you believe, the more you see. It's like, wow, this works. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That means the more you just commit to your faith, you will see the outcome of your faith. You'll see it happen, you know? And I inspect it, and I respect it. I really did. I just said, all right, Lord, what can I do for you, you know? And my career became his career. My relationships became his relationships. I just started just giving it all over to the Lord, you know? It's so important for us to just bring our best, like the wise men, to him and say, Lord, anoint this. Make it something new. And I hope I've been projecting Jesus. I don't always project him properly. He's a little warped. You know, he's not the way he really is sometimes through my representation. And that's when I just keep pointing to him. That's really him. This isn't him. He's him. You know, but follow him. So as the band comes up, I just want to encourage all of us that this year, don't neglect the gift of Jesus. you know, lay hold of the full gift of Jesus. And if you've grown up in the church and you've gotten kind of bored with Christmas, you know, I'll be honest with you, it takes me a long time to muster up an excitement about, because I've you know, preached about Christmas so many times, and I want to make it fresh and new, but it has to be fresh and new in here. And all day yesterday, I'm like, Lord, please just do something, because this is sounding like other years. I want it new, Lord. I want it new in here. I kept saying to Jill, isn't there someone we can go serve? I need to get out and do something for Jesus so that I could feel him again. You know, I could feel him rise up in me, because it has to be new in here. You know, I hate pretending, you know. I'm not a pretender. If it's not new in here, I have a difficulty saying it. I can't sell things that I don't believe in, you know. And so I just kept asking, Lord, how do we make you new all the time? New and fresh. And we need to always expect great things from him. And so this morning, if it's been a while, and you're like, Jesus is a gift, and he's been born to mankind, and he saved us from our sins. That's hard to get our minds around, isn't it? I'm just encouraging you to dig deeper and to start being Jesus. If you really know you have the Spirit of God in you and you've just been neglecting it, it's time to be his representation on earth. It's time to project. You know how you get built up in your faith? You share it. You share your faith. If you're not sharing it, I promise you, you will become apathetic. You will feel mediocre and powerless because you're not activating your faith. You know the story in James, faith without works is dead. It's true, isn't it? If you're not using your faith, it feels like you're losing it. You're not. And if Christ is not exciting to you this year, you have to do something about it. Don't be satisfied with that. Don't be satisfied with being bored about Jesus. I have been. I really have been. You know what heals me? I go out and be Jesus. I go out and do what he would do, and suddenly I just get filled up with the power and love of Jesus. And I'm like, thank you for coming back. Well, he never went anywhere. I went somewhere. Thank you for filling your temple once again, Lord God. Thank you for using me. You know, when I sit in prison feeling sorry for myself, that's when I doubt. But when I say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, I come alive. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the greatest gift to humanity, Lord God. We can do nothing apart from you, Lord God. Everything good comes from the Father. And you came from the Father, Lord Jesus. And because of you, we have the Father. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit, Lord God. And we thank you for giving us our purpose, knowing us before, knew us before we were even born. All of our days have been marked out. How wonderful knowledge that is of yours, Lord God. And we want to live that victorious life, the life that you predestined us to live on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, anoint us this morning by the power of your grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.